Welcome to the Seventh Sense podcast.
This is a space to explore, reflect, and share.
Open conversations for the heart, mind, and soul.
Welcome to episode 2. And as always, we just start with a check-in on how we've been holding up. So how's your week been?
It was better than last week. Just had like one weird day. And by weird, I mean, I couldn't tell what was, I don't want to say wrong, but something was just off.
Mm-hmm.
It was like on Wednesday. But other than that, pretty good week. I've enjoyed it. I feel like I bounced back with so much energy creatively, just even for life. I felt like it was nice. I think you need that slump.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I was just thinking about the thing you asked me last time. Like, you know, when I go through it, I need to bounce back. I need to say, by this time, I need to be over this thing. I'm done. I told myself, well, only today's the only day you don't do anything. Tomorrow you have to be back. Exactly what I did. So it worked.
That's nice.
It worked. Yours?
My week has been low-key trash. I feel like it's always, like, I'm always beyond exhausted at the beginning of my cycle. Like, I'm tired before I leave my bed. I don't want to do anything. And that's what this week was. So it was just, like, I was playing catch-up with my week, but I still got things done. It's just that thing where you have to be like, okay, maybe I didn't go above and beyond, but I did what I needed to do.
True.
So, yeah, but I feel like today's better. I mean, I still woke up late, but it's better. I mean, I got paid today, so that's always a good day. This weekend is going to be really chill.
Yeah.
And then next week I'll be, like, back to my normal capacity.
Okay.
So, a game that we like to play on the show to get to know each other better and also for you guys to get a better sense of us is asking each other questions. So we always fold them up and put them in a bowl and then we ask each other 2 questions. So do you want to start?
Okay.
Now that I can't even see.
I don't even know why I was closing my eyes.
Yeah, you should, because you can see. No, I can't see.
Why do I keep closing my eyes? I think it's reflex.
This is definitely yours.
Mad.
What's the earliest memory you have of me? Oh, that's a good one. My first memory of you that we actually like had a conversation was at your ex's house at the back, and when she had dogs and stuff, like that's the first time we actually, I don't remember what had happened, but we ended up, I think she had gone to the house to get something or something, and then we were sitting on that stone.
Yeah.
And then we actually had a conversation.
Mad.
That's my first memory of you.
That's insane.
What's your first memory of me?
I was in the house, and I think this time we're talking about Kinaburus.
Oh, I have an earlier memory of you. My first memory of you is actually going to Blankets with you. That's my first memory of you. Or coming to Blankets and you guys had already reached Ruth, I think, on Moshe.
Yeah.
I remember you wearing the grey sweater with like a pattern at the front or something. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's my first memory of you.
But we didn't talk that time.
Barely. Yeah.
So I remember, for me, memory is like when you actually sat and had a conversation.
Yeah.
Was, I think, the first time I ever came like just to chill with you guys. I think he even told me you would just come through.
Mm.
And we sat in the Beamer and I think we played rock, paper, scissors in the car. And was squished in the back. So it was so tight. I think what scissors, we were trying to figure out a game to play the hands. That was for me, was the first match. That's my first memory. So I just know, I thought, I was thinking about it this week. I'm just like, I actually want to know.
I think for context, we've known each other probably for like, say, how many years are we? I don't want to get it wrong. Yeah.
We've known each other for 7 years.
Yeah, so.
That's
your turn.
Okay, cool. I feel like I know them from the way they're folded. But let me just be fair. What do you love the most about yourself and why?
I really wanted you to answer that one, but
I'll still answer it though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love how organized I am. I think it makes my life so much easier.
Yeah.
And also it surprises me when I go into other people's spaces or hear just how people are moving. It's just like so much chaos and disorder. So I really appreciate how organized I am. But I think something deeper, because I feel like that's superficial.
Something you love about yourself.
Yeah, I think I'm a very, this sounds so like,
let's
stroking
go.
My ego,
let's
yeah.
Grow. It's like humble stance.
I think I appreciate the fact that I'm a very caring person. I feel like if I care about you, you'll know you can always like talk to me about me, about anything. I don't think I'm a judgmental person.
Thanks.
So like the people closest to me, I'm very caring.
Yeah.
Like I'll always like,
that's true.
Be there.
That's true.
In whatever way, and yeah, well, what about you?
I think for me, what I love about myself, I think, is my the childlike nature I have of just about how I look at things and how I deal with things, I feel like that I love about myself. I feel like my kid has never been taken out of me.
Mm.
So even sometimes I even forget how old I am sometimes, you know, so I feel like, I'm like I'm a loving person.
Yeah, I think you're very compassionate also. Like you,
yeah,
you have a nice heart. I don't even know how to describe.
Parosafi.
Yeah. You have a clean heart, you know.
Though, thanks, but I feel like it's, I don't know, I think I get it from my mom.
Mm.
And also, honestly, don't know. I don't even know how to put it or how it came out. So, cool.
I agree. If you could be any object, what would you be and why?
And by object, I don't mean, don't say any living. So no trees, no plants. Just an object, an inanimate object.
I think I would either be a duvet.
And then you're going to tell me some wild things.
Or a candle. Those are the two I would pick.
The duvet I kind of get because they understand relationship with sleep, but
mm.
A candle?
I feel like candles are just so pretty. They like okay. Can make a room just smell yeah. Clean and just...
So a scented candle, not just...
Yeah, a scented like candle. Probably like from Jackie Aina's brand of candles, Forever okay. Mood. I would be cuffing season because it has like vanilla. That's exactly what I would be.
Cool. I'd be like, you know, this like garden, like decoration. Mm. If it was a version, you could have like not a gnome, but... Like a scarecrow, you get. Like I just get to chill up in the farm. I think I'd be a scarecrow. I know it's weird,
so random.
But I feel like just you get to chill in the farm. Birds don't come and fuck with you because you're a scarecrow. You just chill in the garden, then.
I think when I think of scarecrows, I think of Muriel. Karijeka like, Dog. Remember that thing?
I get it. You're that, a cartoon of scary.
That it was, yeah.
And I'm surprised you didn't grow up like you know with nightmares or some wild
my
shit
God,
about
nightmares.
You. No way.
From Courage.
What used
I
to
did.
Freak me out was Billy and Mandy.
I love
Green used
the
to
green.
Freak me. Used to freak me, especially like when he'd chuck the hood and you just see his color. I used to be like, "Yo, that's weird, bro. Like that's weird."
I loved Billy and Mandy, but Courage. There were some weird ass episodes.
That cartoon
of
was
that
just so.
Yeah.
I feel like now I want to go and watch it.
I am good, love.
Very cool.
Your turn.
I mean, it's just the one.
Yeah.
What emotions do you experience the most? Wow. Like on a day-to-day, this is going to sound crazy, but I think...
Say it.
I don't want to say it. Like, literally, you're just hanging. I don't know. I don't want to say... You're just there. That I experience, like, a lot. Especially,
it's an emotion.
For me, it's an emotion. I feel like I'm...
So how
I'm
would
not
you
happy.
Describe
I'm
it?
Not okay, I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I'm in between there, but optimistic.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, I don't know how to put like a word to
so
that.
So is optimism how you feel, something you experience on a regular basis, or how would you like put it?
Let me try and think of that emotion, because I don't want to say I'm always happy. That's one of the emotions I experience the most.
Mm.
It's, I don't know the word, like I literally have to figure it out. But it's just in between happiness and just being, meh. That sweet spot in between those two sides. Because I feel like the sad part I crossed from feeling sadness to just there, and then there's happiness on this side. So whatever is in between there, that's what I experience the most.
What do I experience the most? I would say gratitude. Is gratitude an emotion?
Gratitude is like a verb, yeah. It can't be an emotion.
I feel grateful.
I mean, that works.
I feel a lot of gratitude, I think.
Okay.
That's something that I'm always like, always comes to my mind. I also feel a lot of...
Like, it's a weird thing, like, to try and put...
This, like, label it.
Yeah, I feel like it's... If you could walk someone through it, like, you could jump through your head and then they see, or your heart, and they get to understand...
What you're feeling.
Yeah, or you could paint it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd get it. Okay, fine, let's change it.
Uh-huh.
Paint it. Paint an emotion, like, describe it, like, in a scene.
Let's describe it in a color.
Okay, cool.
The emotion, like, if you could describe your
in
most
a color,
common
yeah.
emotion in a color, what color would it be?
I want to say, like, a silver. I know it's weird.
Just, like, some... That's so neutral, it describes it perfectly.
Yeah, I feel like silver.
So
I feel like silver has that key quite also a silver lining. So I feel like there's that optimism and then silver is just so it's shiny but then not it's nice, but it's not so you have to say silver.
I think I would say
yellow.
Teal.
Teal is like a blue.
It's like a blue green.
Okay.
It's almost like this.
I kind of get it now.
I just, it's like a, I was going to say purple, but purple doesn't fully cover it.
Yeah.
So teal. It's like, warm but not, it's like, I don't even know how to,
this is hard.
It's like good, it's like alive,
yeah,
healthy, here, doing things, you know, like, yeah, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, this, the fact you use tea, I'm just like, that's dope, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's how we like to start every episode. Feel free to send us your answers to those questions, or feel free to share this game with your friends.
True.
You'll be surprised at, like, what you find out about your friends.
Well, you can even, like, you know, write what we need to ask each other, you get.
Oh, yeah, that would be
that
cool.
That would be a nice, like,
yeah,
thing to see.
That would be cool.
Because me writing the question down, I always feel like, maybe I already know this, but then...
Mm-mm.
I want to take this chance to actually ask questions that I feel like I've never asked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like for me that's it.
Okay, cool. For today's episode, we're going to be talking about selfishness versus self-centeredness. And I just want to start by reading the... Should I start by reading the post or should we end the post?
No,
just read. No, actually, let me not start by reading.
Okay, cool.
Because I feel like it will give everything away. My questions for you.
Do you think that we need to start off by also defining what a self is?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that would be.
So when you hear self, what do you think when you hear self?
Me.
Okay.
That's immediately what comes to
me.
Mind.
Okay.
Me, the person, you know that
yeah, is it
voice
me,
in
like,
your head.
Is it me, this, you? Or the person who's normally...
The voice,
okay,
in my head when,
yeah,
I'm reading a book quietly, the thing
you're
that's
reading,
reading
text
the...
Or whatever it is,
yeah.
You're reading a text, you're already reading the voice of that person.
That's that self.
Okay. Okay. And is that
what
self?
Do you think? What do you think when I say self?
Same thing. I feel like it's the driver behind this vehicle.
Mm.
That's the self for me.
Mm.
But do you think everybody has this understanding that they have a self? Or do they just go through life thinking this body is the self?
I don't think everyone knows it. And I think even me, like, just... For example, one thing that's gotten me consistently through this week is meditation.
Mm.
Like, I feel like at a point of July when things were just crazy, I,
yeah,
fell off track.
Okay.
And so now, like, getting back into it, I think meditation,
yeah,
is something that's helped me, like, realize. Because it's like when you're meditating, it's not like the physical you,
yeah,
that's doing whatever you're doing in your meditation.
True.
If it's guided. So I think, no, not everyone has it, because people just go, you know, just live.
Yeah. Okay,
just
so you, what made you start to understand there's someone else who's, or you became aware of that voice?
I always wondered, like,
talking about the voice in your head, you guys were easy, we know what we're saying.
Yeah. You just wonder, it's like you're reading a book,
yeah,
but you're not saying anything, but you're reading it for sure, like, you're reading the words in your head, you know,
yeah,
when you're reading, yeah.
You're not there.
So it's like, yeah, you're not like, but
it's
each
there.
Word, yeah. Now when you're scrolling on Twitter, like,
yeah,
it's like, what's that voice? Like, how is that? Like,
is there something else,
yeah,
that's doing that? Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I stumble upon it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been, you know, aware of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I became, and this is maybe when I was younger, I would, so you know, you're told to go to sleep like in the afternoon. Okay, I used to be told to sleep. Like, I come from school, you're told, eat your lunch, go and take a nap. I never used to like it, but still used to sleep. And I used to sleep on the top bunk. But I used to do this thing when I'm being put in bed, I would try and picture someone, and it would work. Like, so I can imagine you looking at me. So what would you see looking at me? So I don't know how I used to be able to do it, but I'd be able to perceive, like, myself out of my body. And that's when I started to understand. So when I started reading up on this, I'm just like, did you actually used to OBE when you were younger, but you never used to understand what it was? So that's when I started to understand there's someone who's actually inside this thing. It's not just up to me, this outside.
Mm.
So pretty young I became, now started peeping that. There's like, okay, there's someone else. If I'm able to do that, it means there's someone. It's not this, not the physicality of it.
Yeah.
And so now the more I started to read is when I started to understand, okay, so that's what you call the self. And then,
yeah,
I figured in Buddhism, you call it the Atman. And that's what I started. I'm like, okay, fine, the Atman is, that's who Shaga is.
Mm.
You get, so I feel like when you peel away my physicality, is where I'm from, my name, all these things,
that's like
Shaga.
The essence of,
so for me, that's,
yeah,
the essence for me, the self now. And so now when we move into saying things like self-centered, selfish, is when it takes a whole
a
different
turn.
Shape. Yes,
yeah.
I figured we need to understand what a self is first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then selfishness and self-centeredness. Let's start with selfishness.
Okay.
Do you think selfishness is a good thing?
Off top, you're like, nah, it's not a good thing.
Mm.
But I feel like it depends on how you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be selfish in terms of, this is how in my head when you hear selfish, I come like, you know, a kid in break, be having a snack, then you're just like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
See, nah, I'm a napeleka home, I'm a napeleka, eh, and we're back wash, napeleka sitango home. You know, some things people used to say. So for me, that's the first thing I have of selfish.
Mm.
But then growing up and I figured out about self care is when I started to understand, okay, fine, you can use selfish
in a more positive way.
So I think there's a positive energy to selfish that you can harness.
Mm. I 100% agree. And I think it's something that I realized, especially in my 20s.
Okay.
Selfishness is actually important.
True.
With your self, your time, your energy.
It's important.
It's what keeps you energized.
But how are you able, like, because see, for me, people outside looking in, that figure out, okay, they'd be like, ah, no, you're just me, you're moving different. You used to be among us, you're moving different, so why are you so selfish with your time, yourself?
Mm.
How do you keep that moving? You get like, how do you also block out all that noise and be like, you know what, I'm still going to be selfish with myself? And when do you stop? Or is it something you find a balance in between?
I think it's because I know where it comes from. It doesn't come from a place of me being like...
malicious.
Like, fuck you guys, I don't want to spend time with you. It's like, let me take care of me, and then we can be a thing.
Okay.
And it also comes from a thing of where you can be so drained by people.
Thanks.
So then it's like, you need to be selfish. Otherwise, like, if you continue like this, there's
you
not going to be anything
be drained,
left of you. Yeah.
True. Because I feel like I have a very, like, small social battery.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't think I ever say it. But I think you, whenever you say it, really, I'm just like, I actually do like spending. I'm first of all very socially awkward. I feel like I just don't do well around people. And then secondly, I'm spending time with people. I feel like I drain too fast. And so I can only do like one big thing, maybe Friday, Saturday. By the time it gets to Sunday, I'm normally just like, I need me
to be alone.
I need to be alone. I need to be able to hear that voice now in my head. I feel like the more I'm around people, it's just hence my headphones. I always feel like I trust this voice inside more than anything. I feel like I want to be able to hear it and check it.
Mm.
At the same time, I don't need to just driving aimlessly.
Mm.
No, I just want to be able to take care of what it's saying and what it's saying to me. Because that's another aspect of it. Yeah.
So basically, do we agree that being selfish
is
necessary?
It's necessary.
So what about being self-centered? Because I think being self-centered is now completely negative, and I think it's not that thing of the kids on the playground.
Mm. I think self-centered is that thing. You know, it's how would I put it? It's just about you. Everything else revolves around you.
Mm.
But if it's something happening to you, I'd still make it about me.
Mm.
I think that's what self-centered is. You know, I'd come and tell you, hey, you know, brother, I broke my arm, or I had someone who's broken their arm.
Wow,
like, oh,
I can't imagine you broke your arm. Me.
I broke my arm.
I would never break my arm, you know. Yeah.
That's how people I tell now self-centered.
Mm.
It's just the world revolves around them. So for me, that's it. I feel like it's negative. There is no positive way of flipping
being
self-centered. But...
mm-hmm.
So as I was reading up on this thing, they kind of flipped it.
Mm-hmm.
So as I read, some lady, she's like she's a therapist or psychologist, one of those two. And she was talking about how being self-centered is necessary because you're putting yourself first and not other people and other things.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm then like, it's like, so where's like the border between being selfish and being self-centered? Because I thought you could... in being selfish, you're putting yourself first.
Yeah. No, I'm with it. Me, I felt like whatever she said, I don't agree with it.
Oh, you don't agree?
I don't
with
agree.
It?
I feel like being self-centered is... I'll send you the link to that thing. I didn't read it like word for word what she said.
Mm.
But I feel like she said something about being self-centered, like it's a good thing.
Mm.
What I'm really trying to do right now is just reclaiming words. Okay, for example, what I mean about reclaiming words. When I say pink, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
Mm. Millennial pink.
That's what comes to your head. Even when I say pink, I already think like cotton candy.
Oh.
Yeah, like a pink chair is really... like you see, if we had same word but different effects.
Meanings,
So I feel like the same thing with when you say selfish. Someone has this already negative connotation about it, but all you're trying to do is just show people that being selfish can be used in a way to take care of yourself.
In a different way, yeah.
I feel like being self-centered is just...
different.
It's different and you're going to move different and it's not... I don't feel like it's a loving space.
I
feel like if you love yourself first... that's really a start.
Mm.
Yeah,
the intention behind it is different.
Yeah.
How have you, like, what has taught you that you need to be selfish? Or what experiences would you say have led you to
be selfish?
Redefine the word selfish for yourself?
I think every day...
take a shot every time we say self.
Okay, cool. But are you going to keep track, though? You should put, like, every time. So, think was, I want to say like back from when I was like young. I feel like most of who I am, that's what I was saying, I think I've maintained a child in me because most of my experience that I bore or shaped me happened when I was young.
Yeah.
So selfishness for me came from, this is going to sound like really like just, it's petty, but, so we used to have this homie like growing up and we'd share like marbles, but no, I remember this one time like I didn't pull up with mine and then he was just like, nah, I'm not giving you mine, I only have this one. And he had like a bunch of like marbles, but just like, no, I'm not chucking this one, I'm just using my one. I was like, I couldn't understand why he has a full bag of these marbles, but, and we've always been homies. Me, I've always come through for you whenever you wanted anything, but me, I'm just asking for one of your marbles. I know it sounds weird in the same marble,
yeah.
But.
Yeah,
I'm like, pause. Yeah. Pause. So that, like, really, maybe I'm like 10. That's what I'm starting to understand. Okay, fine. I can really be looking out for you, but who's going to look out for me at the end of the day then? You know, so I have your back, but who has mine?
Have your own back.
So that's when I said, figure out. I'm just like, you know what? And so I used to have like a piggy bank. I went and broke that thing.
You bought banos.
And I bought banos for years. And I was just like, you know what? And I'm not even going to tell. I'm not going to even have to front or snap and be like, hey, look at me. No, I was just like, no. In case any time I ever miss one, just go and get. I think it started there. It's just, I was able to understand. I have to be able to protect myself. And that's how I've always moved from there. It's just, I've always been able to just be by myself and not feel like, literally, so that I am, always feel like I am in this world, but not a part of it. That's how I always feel. I feel like I'm here, but not from here. You? Like, whatever, or what pushed you to be like, you know what, Edna, let me...
feel like it took me, that was a long
journey.
Because it's a thing where you want to, like, save everyone and you want, like, everyone to see things the way they are.
True.
So I would say I didn't even have an idea of what, of how important it is to be selfish. It was never, like, an intentional thing to be like, okay... this is how much of someone's energy I can accept before I've had enough. It was never a conscious
like
thing for me.
Yeah,
boundaries and enforcing and maintaining them. Yeah,
I would say. That. Yeah.
You know, because sometimes it's like, it'll come down to it where it's a choice literally between white or black. Sometimes you want to be gray, but it's not serving you. You have to pick white or take the consequences that come with it, or pick black and take the consequences. So that's something I think probably when I was 23, that's when I was like, okay, this is something I'm going to be doing for the rest of my 20s and the rest of my life.
Yeah,
just from being in friendships and coming from a relationship that wasn't, I mean, it was good while it was in it, but when it got toxic, I was still not willing to like put up some walls.
Yeah,
and,
true.
You know?
No, I'm just honest.
Well. so that's what I would say.
Okay. That's like, but you had a question though.
Yeah.
Do you feel like being able to take care of yourself, it comes from this, or you're able to realize I can actually love myself in a whole different way? Like, taking care of yourself is also like a form of you showing love to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something like my sister-in-law told me, and she's just like, I think she does it, or she used to do it, or she had someone who does it. Every time they get up in the morning, they go to the mirror and they tell themselves, I love you. So I started doing that thing. Because I feel like there's a power to it. Just you're able to wake up in the morning and being, you know what, I love you. Regardless of how this day goes, I love you. And it's something I've never been able to practice. I always felt I've been able to give other people love, make other people feel loved, but I've never been able to direct it back into myself. And I feel like that's how I'm spending most of my time now, is figuring out how do I direct all this love back into me.
I think that's been such a big part of quarantine, because it's just been you by yourself with your thoughts.
True. Okay, mine is not that easy, but
but I feel like for people who are super codependent in quarantine, it's been like,
it's short,
the time to be independent.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so who am I when I'm just me? Uh-huh. And then you have to now like talk to yourself and figure that out. What did I want to say? But being codependent is actually something, part of what I struggled with, because it's like, you know, you have your group of people who are your group of people.
Yes.
It's like us, we move like this, and you know, if you're not part of us, you know, that
you're
type
not.
Of energy.
Yeah.
And then it just gets, it got old. Because you start
to,
like,
you get older.
Yeah.
Or you grow up, you're just like, okay.
It's just like, you start to see situations and things that you don't agree with, but it's like, because you're all of you,
the
should
flock,
should you all
like,
do it? But it's like you don't want to do it. So then that's when you start to sort of be a bit selfish with what you want to do.
Okay.
Do.
I get
that.
Like, so what's the domino that tips for someone to be like, you know what, I want to be selfish? So it's experiences that actually
it's crazy that you have to get burnt. It's that thing for Kensho and Satori.
Mm-hmm.
Kensho and Satori are like these two principles in growth. It's basically in your growth cycle, like your journey to your spiritual awakening or self-development.
Yeah.
So Kensho is the really low lows. Like, you know, those moments that you're like it couldn't be worse than this.
Yep, yeah.
But there's always like a slight awakening that comes from that moment. And then, so like usually when you're drawing your personal development chart, it'll generally be like this, you know. There'll be like really pit moments.
Yeah.
So the really pit moments are Kensho.
Kensho.
And then Satori is like the little dips.
Peak.
Kensho is a big part of you being like, okay, I need to be selfish, you know, because when you get to rock bottom, it's like,
true.
It's just me, I need to pick myself up.
I feel like also even the rock bottom helps you realize who's really around you.
Mm.
And I feel like I've really learned that, honestly, the hard way. I've come to figure, you know, these are people who push, came to shove.
Fair weather friends.
Yeah, these are guys I know, they ride with me no matter what.
Mm.
And for me, it's taken like, you know, really, honestly, dramatic experiences for me to actually open up, like, you know, my eyes to be like, yo, that voice. That's when a person who is going to be there for you, always.
Mm.
But you also need to take care of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you can't be reckless. Neglect every, you know, every time you have this feeling of intuition. Because I also like try and link my intuition with that voice.
Mm.
And for me, intuition is the clearest version of this voice that you can have. It doesn't have any bias.
Yeah.
So I saw some post.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a light shining. Mm. And then it's like a card on top with like a hole. So the light is called truth, like it's just labeled truth.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole is bias, and then whatever comes out at the end, so now there's a card, so of course the light is being, there's a shadow
specific,
cast, and then like a point, that's perception.
Mm.
And I felt like when you remove that bias, just like a true light, that's like a voice now that speaks in the purest sense, has no ill intentions, not governed by the ego. But I feel like self-centeredness is driven more by your ego.
For sure.
And I feel like that's my whole kind of goal in life, is just be able like to kill my ego, to be like, you know what, there's a bit left in me, because you know, individuality in a sense.
Yeah.
But I want it to be like, you know, calm enough to know its place in
your life.
In my life.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me that's it. Just, but the selfishness has to come from, I don't know, for me it's just come from like those like bare, just crazy, traumatic experiences.
Me too. I feel like I've felt things or like been in situations where it was even surprising what was happening. You know, it's like you don't expect people's reaction to be
that,
what it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, or that thing where you feel like people aren't seeing your side of it. You know, like people, like no one is like able to like just empathize or like be on a human to human level with you in that situation. So I feel like, yeah, that was a part of me seeing the importance of selfishness. So if, let's say there's someone listening and they don't they don't agree. That's 100%.
Yeah,
like, you don't need to be selfish.
Yeah.
You don't. So what would you say is either a sign that you should be selfish, or what would you say is a way that you can practice selfishness without being self-centered?
I think the first one, I'm just going to talk what I experienced, because that's the only one I can
really speak on.
Yeah. And it's when you find yourself, the same you're saying, just you knew you're moving with a crowd or a wave, but half the time we're just asking yourself, me on my jigs, like on my solo, I would not be doing this.
Mm.
So why am I doing it? But is it because I want to be comfortable? So I feel like when you're doing things to fit in, and you're suppressing, your voice is telling you, nah, we don't do that, or I'm not really about it, but I just want to be a part of. I feel when you have that feeling of, I want to be a part of, that's when you need to start being selfish, because you being a part of is you losing a part of you.
Yeah.
Bars. But yeah, so it's that for me. I feel like when you want to fit in, like you find yourself doing things just to fit in,
yeah,
and you start being selfish.
Something also I relate so closely to that is the energy you feel after being around certain people. How do you feel? Because there's sometimes you hang out with people, and then when you go home, you're like, wow, today was such a good day, I feel so enriched. And there's certain times you hang out with people, it's good in the moment, but when you go home, it's just like,
now, I won't even lie to you, mine always happens there, that's on the spot, it's now on site. For me, always be like, yo, I'm just like, yo, I don't like being around here.
Yeah.
And again, me being socially awkward, I'll just turn to my phone and be like, I'm not even going to be texting or doing anything. I'm just like, I'll even just hold my phone.
Mm.
I have come, and it's just over time, I became confident enough to be like, if your energies are not right, just align your chakras first. Not that mine are 1,000% aligned, but at least I'm
you
putting
can feel
effort.
It. Yeah, it's you that can thing with intuition. Just it's like, just the no. energy is off. It's not
yeah.
even hate. I don't hate you. I don't like, it's just, the energy doesn't mesh.
So me, I mean, coming into doing everything, I always feel like I need to be cool with everyone.
Mm.
And I need to be, you know, as whoever you are, does I don't need to care about what you've done in your past. You know, it's cool. You're you. And then I just set this standard for myself to be like, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what you've accomplished. If you're not right by my, I don't want to say standards, but if my energies are just not matching yours,
mm.
I'm not going to force it.
Mm.
I don't care how many people you're cool with. I feel like it's up to me to decide what I want to put into my life now. So I think that thing of, one, decide if you don't want to fit in, then start figuring out, you know, let me start being selfish.
Yeah.
I think another one is when, in a sense, your thoughts are not yours.
Mm. It's like you don't, you can't define yourself outside some, like, outside
a group
your
of people
yeah,
or
exactly.
someone. Or
yeah.
someone else also. We're not
yeah.
just talking about friends. Even relationships can happen where you get lost in it.
Yeah, you can lose yourself
yeah,
100%.
So I feel like that's gone through it, you know. So I feel like
yeah.
that's also another thing. When you find yourself not being able to hear that voice, like that voice is gone.
Mm-hmm. It's time
that's
to check
sign,
in.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's another sign for you to be like, hey, yo, I need to take a pause from... Because you end up taking up these people's energies, their burdens, and then so their story becomes
your story.
So you shut your book. Now you're over here.
We're writing.
Now you're writing theirs, reading theirs, and I feel like that's not how it should go.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stop reading your own storybook and reading another person's, that's another time you need to check yourself to be like, yo, I need to stop.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. I feel like...
That's what I was going to say. So then now what's the boundary between you? You've realized this. Okay, cool. I need to prioritize myself more
yeah.
and be a bit more selfish with myself.
Yeah.
What's the boundary between that and now becoming a self-centered person? Because, you know, it can be, you could be like, okay, protecting
that's
your energy, but you could also be an asshole.
Yeah, just like,
under
yeah,
the guise
yeah,
of,
yeah, I'm being selfish,
I'm just
I'm
protecting
myself.
Boundaries, you know.
Mad.
Yeah,
I
so.
I didn't even thought of it like that. Okay.
I think you need to look at it, how you were saying, it's like you remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah.
And you look at it, it's like, even in a simple thing as how much time have you spent with yourself just by yourself versus how much time have you spent with this person.
Yeah.
If it's, for example, treating, like going out to eat, how much time have you bought your, have you taken yourself out for a meal ever versus have you
taking
only gone
out
with this person only? Things, little things like that, just checking like what your actual routines are and
yeah.
stuff,
okay.
you know, in relation to other people versus in relation to yourself. Because I find there's a lot of things you're willing to maybe do and show support of and like give help to like other people, but
yeah.
it's not so much the same to yourself. You know?
That I relate to. That I'm especially for
same.
Supporting other people more than even support yourself. That I relate to a lot.
100%. Even
like
giving. Like you can, you know, you give,
yeah.
and then you end up feeling so drained, but it's like, why am I drained? It's because you've given
everything.
You've given your whole self. Like,
mad.
So it's like, just check that balance. I think that's a good way to know. I mean, then on the flip side, if you're only doing things for yourself, things that only serve you, then
yeah.
you're definitely self-centered.
Okay. I feel like you need someone to be able to not pull you out but to check you.
Mm.
Someone you can trust, you know, not just that everyone who says it will be like, okay, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
now.
Right, yeah.
That confident, you know, okay, fine. If they say it,
yeah.
Because even, you know, even if you're in a relationship or your partner,
you can't see it in
you
a
can't
relationship.
Even, you can't see it because you guys, your worlds are like intertwined.
Enmeshed,
yeah,
yeah,
so you really can't, even if they say it, there's, let's be honest, you're human. So whatever you'll say that's going to make them give you more attention or to be there for you more,
mm.
you'll say.
Mm.
You get it. It's like a bias you really have. It's just,
yeah.
They give me so much love, so I don't want them to take that away from me. So you're not being self-centered. No, you're cool. Things are good. So I feel like having that one person who's outside of you,
the situation
that you
yeah.
can trust, being in a relationship or not, you know, just that one person who you know can keep you in check. Because I feel like also family, I mean, I have a beautiful family. I love them to death. But I also feel like we come from different worlds. So even how I try and deal with my things and how I try and maneuver this world is not how they were brought up and how, what they see.
100%.
So also try and make them understand this has nothing to do with you guys. Like, so don't take any offense. Don't feel like, oh, you have to do the most nice. Just, this is how I like figure out my
processing and dealing
yeah.
with and
this is how I do
the routine,
it.
Yeah.
So I feel like having that one person who understands you
major key. Like, on that point, it's important to note that it's sometimes finding that one person comes after dealing with a lot of people who you think are that person.
You have to kiss many frogs.
But yeah, you have to kiss many frogs to find your prince. You might think, you know, you experience someone who you like trust with your whole heart,
yeah,
and it's like,
facts,
we're going to be friends forever. And then they just disappoint you.
One scenario happens where you knew they should be able to back you.
And they didn't.
So for me, that normally changes everything. I feel
that
was
like
your time to shine.
Flag.
That was
your
moment. You didn't. So nah.
That tells you something.
Yeah.
So even with this one person, if you feel like you don't have that one person, I'm always telling people, like, therapy is everything. Even again with therapists, your first therapist might not be the therapist for you.
True.
But just don't give up.
True.
And you can always look, be your own therapist in a sense.
Yeah.
This is not like, now you don't need a therapist for therapy. But through journaling, because when you've written something in your journal, when it's raw and it's you're actually feeling it,
yeah,
when you come back and read it next week with a fresh, like when you're a bit more beyond that, it's
true.
You'll give yourself a different perspective. So even if you don't feel like you have that one person, there's ways to navigate to where you're removing yourself from the situation,
okay,
to look at it with a fresh perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, my assumption is always this, like, I don't know, like, everybody's on this journey to enlightenment, you get?
Mm.
That's the perception I have, because I'm always this, like, how did I end up with this information, you get? Like, I went out of my way just fine to read, interact, and also talk to people about it.
Mm.
But how come my brothers never talked to me about any of these things?
Mm.
My dad, so only that's when I came to understand we're not on the same path.
Yeah.
And it's okay. The best I can do is to be the best son, brother, uncle I can be, but also there's the me who needs to grow and experience some things that not maybe
on
you
your
guys
own,
thought were possible, in a sense.
Mm.
But I like that thing of, you know, what's the boundary between being selfish and self-centered?
Yeah.
Because my mind is always, anything you're doing to improve yourself, the intention is pure, so the outcomes will always be pure. But
well, sometimes you have to check
yourself.
Yeah.
You
can be like, oh
this.
No, this is a healthy boundary. You're masking you being self-centered under the guise of spiritual growth. Spiritual bypassing, basically. You're like bypassing the actual work.
True. Because
under
that,
the guise,
Where this stems from, I think, is also maybe how you were raised. You get there's some guys who maybe it was you ask for things, or you always told, you know what, not now. Or like your feelings and emotions are never considered. So you grew up not feeling like I should consider even my own feelings. Everybody else needs to come first. If you're growing up and your feelings were never considered, or what you felt, what you thought, you'd always suppress that voice now.
Mm.
You don't even know it exists now. So I feel like also you need to be able to go back and look at your childhood if you're able to.
We should
to
definitely
understand.
Do an episode on reparenting. Reparenting
think,
the
yeah,
inner child.
That's
because that's some...
That's like
everlasting
life.
Shit.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like every day, every, you know.
You start to understand, you're actually like this because...
This
and I feel like for me, it's such an interesting position I sit in, because now I'm able to look at kids and I get to understand every interaction I have with them. This thing adds up
it's
to something.
Adding up, yeah.
So you have to be really
and
conscious.
It can also be really sad, because sometimes you see how even, for example, parents in public will discipline their kid or like move when it comes to that kid says this and this is how they, it's just like... That's going to be a lot of money in therapy
later
at some point.
So how selfish do you have to be with yourself to actually be able to carve that time into your day or your week? Rich enough for you, you get, like, how are you able to carve that time? But also your schedule, I wouldn't say that it's a Monday to Friday legit, like, you know, back to back.
Yeah, it's not.
Imagine the person who's, it's not back to back.
I feel like you really have to look at how much time you actually have to yourself.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Mm.
Just look at it and then see what you want to prioritize in the different buckets of your life. Your family, your friends, your relationship, those are all in different buckets. They're all different goals or visions you have for each of those. But how can you fit that? Oh my God, you're the most important bucket, first of all.
Yeah.
So, and yourself. So how will you fit that?
You know what? Take care of you first. All these other things will come. Just be able to take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, that's what gave me that confidence. It's one of those things, even like in relationships, anything that you are interacting with, especially with other people, you need to be able to call it and say, you know what, this is peak. I'm done. I need to just stop all these things. If you're not selfish enough, you're going to get broken. You're going to burn out.
Mm.
And for what?
Yeah, and so I think that's the thing, as I was saying, if you have 2 hours to yourself every day, try and be as intentional as you can with those 2 hours. If you get off work and literally all you want to do is sleep or eat or whatever, make sure you make some time for that. And I think that's why I think Sundays are so, like, sacred for me.
Well,
Sunday is like, it's like that reset, you know, it's just like, it's setting sort of the tone for the rest of your week.
I feel like you reclaimed your Sundays.
Yeah, for sure.
You reclaimed your Sundays.
Yeah. Can't even tell my Sundays.
I like how you said, you know, just your Sundays become sacred. And I feel like when you say the Sabbath is holy, I feel like it's not about, I'm not
only
trying to take this, anybody who follows like any religion. It's just make your Sunday yours.
Yeah.
And that means you go to church. Whatever you do to make it yours, do that. But now here's a plot twist here. Why I figured they changed, because she said self-centeredness,
mm-hmm,
is you're centered in the self.
Okay. That's a different way of looking at the word.
Yeah, so that's what confused me when I read it. So I'm just like, okay, fine. So being centered in the self comes from you being selfish enough to take care of yourself. Yo, this is like the toughest one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me that was it. And it comes from being, having these boundaries that you set for yourself.
Boundaries, guys. Boundaries.
For example, so like in a relationship, how are you able to set that boundary in terms of, okay, fine, this is the time I need, or do you just say it?
You're
I think
I'm a bit crafty about how I approach it. Like,
okay,
I may not upfront say it. Again, this may vary partner to partner,
yeah,
maybe, but it'll just be in my schedule for the day. I just, it's just, I just,
yeah,
don't
me
have time.
So raw. Me, I'm just someone like you. But at least I explain why.
Yeah.
Why I just need time to myself. Not everyone's going to understand.
Exactly.
And especially if you sort of, it's a thing you're starting, even your partner's going to be like, are you cheating? Because now why
all of a sudden you want
time to yourself. So I feel like it's honesty, I think, for me is a thing, you know, just communication.
Yeah, uncomfortable honesty.
Yeah,
like,
but I feel like you wouldn't suppress now this. I feel like it's something budding, you need wants to bust out, but if you keep capping it, you're not really doing anything for yourself.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's for me, that's it. I feel like,
yeah, that's it basically. Cool. There's this post that inspired the original episode that we did around selfishness versus self-centeredness. It's not easy. And it was that people need to stop actively taking on problems that are not their problems. If you didn't get someone into a crisis, you are not obligated to get them out of it. You don't have to stop, drop, and roll every single time something comes up in someone else's life. You don't have to consistently take on the emotions of every dire situation that someone finds themselves in, especially if it literally has nothing to do with you. Yeah, I said what I said. You don't have to reschedule your days, your weeks, and your months to distress someone else, and you don't need to exhaust yourself trying to deal with things that aren't really your business.
That's taken me back.
So, yeah, if you think any of those statements apply to you, I'm telling you, it's okay. You don't need to be someone's savior and end all and be all. You can be your own first. You owe it to yourself before you owe it to anyone else.
Like, for how we stumbled upon it,
because
I think I told you about something, like, I was going through at the moment, and then you found it, then you sent it.
Yeah.
And we were like, this is the one. And I love how most of these episodes are being drawn from things that were happening to us, either maybe in that 1 week that we haven't interacted, or maybe prior to that. That's mind-blowing. That's mad.
Yeah, so maybe just ask yourself, do I really need to be this stressed out about this thing that
really
is not even my business?
Yeah, true.
Probably not. And that's not you being self-centered, that's you being selfish in a positive way. Taking care of yourself, prioritizing yourself, which you have to do, because otherwise you'll never be able to do anything for anyone else if you're empty and drained.
The longer you take the heart, it's going to be too
exactly
selfish. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think especially if you're in your 20s, it's a great time to do it. Like, we hear it all the time from our parents and older people, how it's like people will just fall on the wayside, you know. People will get caught up in their own things.
Yeah.
So you'd rather be true to yourself and do what you're doing, and you'll never lose the people who you're truly meant to be with if you're doing what you're truly meant to be doing. But if you're like deviating just to stay relevant and to stay, then it just doesn't work.
I think everybody is entitled to their own boundaries.
Yes.
I don't think you ever need to really over explain yourself, but I feel like you're entitled to say, I don't want to participate in this, I don't want to be around them, I don't want to listen to that, I don't want to read, you know, just be able to decide what you want to let into your world. And I think no one should be able to question you on that. As long as it's coming from a good place, your intention is pure, positive, you're entitled to your own boundaries. And I feel like with that boundary comes with you being able to be selfish with yourself, able to be centered in yourself. And I think just you're able to maneuver. It's not going to be, a life won't be like, oh, everything is nice now.
No,
I think
never.
It's just you're going to be able now to deal also with your dips. What did you call it?
The Satori. Kensha and Satori.
Yeah, the Satori part of it. You're able also to pick yourself up because you know I'm the only person who can pick myself up. I don't need people to come around me and tell me, oh, no, we're so sorry. You're able to pick up and move. Something like that. For me, that's it.
That was it for episode 2, guys. Please share your feedback with us. Share any experiences you want with us. Our contact information is in the show notes. And yeah, that was it from us. I'm Edna Njeri.
And I'm Eugene Yashaga.
And this has been The 7th Sense.